Hello and welcome to the Radio Academy podcast with me, Roisin Hasty. We've got an extra special episode for you this week, following on from a Radio Academy event we held last Friday, meeting the team behind the BBC's Ukraine cast.
It is a strange situation, finding yourself and your family part of the story. Working with Ukraine cast is me doing something about it, telling the world what I know about Russia and Ukraine and how things are there. So I would say without Ukraine cast, it would be much more difficult for me personally to cope with what's going on.
Wow, sorry, I didn't know that, Vitaly. I did not know that.
For the last 6 weeks, the podcast has been providing daily coverage of the conflict from the moment Russia invaded Ukraine.
How it feels is like terrifying.
What we worry about is that we are losing our people and we are losing our country.
We managed to survive. I do not know how. My wife and my son are being taken care of by doctors in the hospitals.
After sitting down with Victoria Derbyshire, who hosts the podcast, Jonathan Aspinwall, who's the senior editor, and Vitaly Shevchenko, who's a Russia specialist working at BBC Monitoring, we wanted to make the most of the insight they shared. So we've selected some of the highlights from the event to share with you in this week's episode. How did you get it off the ground so quickly? You know, as this conflict started, the podcast was born.
We were obviously hearing the reports about how British and American intelligence were saying that an invasion could be imminent. So we were really mindful of that, and we started those conversations really early on. The first key task that we faced was to work out the format, the tone, the presentation, and we were really thinking about those kind of trusted friends, those presenters who could bring their own experiences to the pod. And so that was really key with Gabriel Gatehouse and Victoria. Victoria would draw upon her broadcasting earlier in the day, and Gabriel would draw upon his vast amount of experience in the region. He has many, many contacts in both in Russia and in Ukraine, has lived there. And we, both of them, also have a strong reputation in the podcast and the audio world.
And how did you feel, Vic, being approached to present something like this?
Well, Jonathan rang me 2 days before the actual war began and said, would you want to do this? I said, yes, absolutely. Because it's about people, and I care about people, and I love talking to people. You know, these circumstances are horrific, but you want to hear from Ukrainians who are going through this.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a story that is happening day to day, minute by minute. Things are changing. Every morning, do you get in? Do you have a meeting? Do you decide, okay, today this feels like the biggest thing happening in Ukraine or the most important thing, and you go from there?
We kind of... It's not a meeting in the old sense of the word. We're on WhatsApp, all of us, and we're all suggesting things or suggesting ideas or people we might want to speak to or what the focus might be for that day. And also we're guided by our listeners. We've got listeners right around the world. We absolutely love receiving emails, voice notes, WhatsApps from them. And sometimes it might be the focus from them because they want to know more about a particular area. Mm-hmm. And often we will be able to find an expert in that area, either within this building or outside. And so we'll bring them on and say, look, this listener in Sydney or Auckland or Toronto or California or the UK, would really like to know more about this. What's your take on this?
And I guess that's what sets this podcast apart from the other coverage going on across the BBC, because you don't have to necessarily follow the headlines. You can pick up on something that might be that you, as you say, your listeners, like, we're not really sure what this means. And you can go, OK, well, today's episode, we're focusing on that then.
Yeah.
I am in awe of the level of response from the listeners, actually, and the engagement and the intelligence of the communication, actually. We, our inbox, we always find valid questions. We always find fresh insights, sometimes things that we'd not actually considered. And they have been an absolutely invaluable resource right around the world. I mean, from Canada, from America, Australia, from Baltic states, all over the world, we're getting this input from the listeners. And it has become a crucial point, a crucial part of the actual podcast. And I've worked at Breakfast Telly, worked at Five Live, worked at Radio 4. If I'm honest, I have never seen emails like these emails. The level of detail, their emotional response, the level of understanding, it's really special.
Yeah, it really is. And I think they are super, super curious. They want to know the kind of motivations, the background, the context, the historical context. And not only that, they are invested in the people, in the normal people that we speak to from Ukraine and Russia, actually, who have been on the podcast, who we keep going back to because we know not only do we want to find out what's happening and where they are on this journey of escape, but also the listeners absolutely want to know as well.
Yeah, and someone that you've had regularly on the podcast is Vitaly Shevchenko. And Vitaly, not only are you a BBC journalist, but you also have family in Ukraine. So that's been a really key narrative to the Ukrainecast podcast, is just even hearing from you how you're juggling your day job as a journalist with your personal family issues.
It is a strange situation, finding yourself and your family part of the story. But it's also a unique situation because that gives me a certain insight in how things are in Ukraine, in eastern Ukraine, particularly where I'm from, and gives us a historical insight into the motives of what's been happening there. And working with Ukrainecast, in a way, it makes it easier to deal with this whole situation because we're near facing this unbelievable injustice, horrendous cruelty. You can't watch it without wanting to do something about it. So working with Ukrainecast is me doing something about it, telling the world what I know about Russia and Ukraine and how things are there. So I would say without Ukrainecast, it would be much more difficult for me personally to cope with what's going on.
Wow. Sorry, I didn't know that, Vitaly. I did not know that.
Well, yeah, Saturdays and Sundays are the most difficult days because you have to switch off. You have to stop following the news. Mm-hmm. And when you're not, you can't help thinking that, look, you know, people are getting killed in your country, and here's you trying to watch a film or listen to some music or do some cycling. So Monday to Friday is what comes naturally, you know, doing a lot of work and telling the world about what I see as the truth.
We're aware that we are hearing very harrowing accounts, testimony, which is just shocked us to the core, and a huge amount of respect to Vitaly from all of us on the team. He has been a crucial, an absolutely key figure on this podcast, and we couldn't have done it without Vitaly. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I don't know how he has done it, to be quite frank. So we, the whole team, have a huge amount of gratitude and respect, and not only for the testimony of his the way he's talked about his parents and what's happened to his parents, and perhaps Vic can talk about that as well, but I also feel his skill set in terms of his experience over the years working for BBC monitoring, his awareness of disinformation, his awareness of the media both in Russia and in Ukraine, it has been absolutely crucial in the podcast. And one final thing to say about that actually is sometimes we also have eyewitnesses who don't speak English on the pod, and he translates on the pod. You would have heard
it's amazing.
It is extraordinary. It is, and it has provided some of the most powerful moments on the podcast.
Helena, thank you very much for talking to us. I understand you were injured, and I understand that your husband Oleg was killed, and I am so sorry.
Yes, many thanks.
I wonder, Helena, if you would tell us what happened?
In the first car, the husband survived, the neighbor survived, but he had part of his leg amputated. In our car, I was driving and we were shielded by the first car. When they started firing, I was wounded. I started shouting. I gave my husband a push, but he didn't react. He was killed.
I can't imagine what it must be like doing that translation, hearing these accounts of horrific actions. And he's kept his professionalism throughout the podcast. So we are hugely grateful for that.
Mm-hmm. And how do you balance and manage the content of this podcast? Because, you know, it's so harrowing what is happening in Ukraine. Do you have conversations where you think we absolutely need to go into this level of awful detail about what's happening? Or is there like any sheltering at all?
This is a grown-up podcast, so we're really aware of that. I've got two kids who are 10 and 12, and I know I've been complying, which means I'm listening to the podcast at the end of the day, checking that everything's okay with it, and the children will be in the room, and I'm really aware of that. And sometimes I'll put my headphones on as opposed to putting it on loudspeakers, because this is an adult podcast, and we are aware that we don't want to sanitize things. We are aware that we put warnings on the podcast, obviously, as all podcasts can. And we guide the listeners through this. So Victoria or Gabriel's now on paternity leave, but when Gabriel was on the podcast, they will alert listeners to the fact we're going to hear some harrowing testimony. We're also aware in the editorial mix that we sometimes have to vary the tone, we have to vary the interviews, and we may pull back and do something more analytical at certain points, because these are hard stories to hear, they're hard testimony to hear, and we find it hard, and we're aware the listeners find it hard as well. So we are constantly analysing how we structure this podcast to ensure that that listeners are able to learn insights and also hear the testimony.
Is there
well.
Like a formula for a Ukraine cast episode, or is every day just completely blank slate?
There is a rough formula, and it's rough because we want to be dynamic. We want to shape it around the strongest content. We know that the first 15 minutes of the pod is really, really crucial. Obviously, people are leaning into podcasts. It's a much more... I'm obviously, this audience will understand this, but it's a much more assertive situation, much less passive than sometimes audio, a radio. That's my perception of it.
Because you choose to download
because
something.
Because you choose to download it. You don't just have it on in the background. Yeah. You are listening in, you're leaning in, is the phraseology we often use. So I think, we are always aware that we would like a very strong case study. We want that emotion. We want to understand what's happening on the ground. Then we have a family of experts, and we're really aware the gender balance of those experts. There are a lot of men in this field, in conflict studies and in war studies. So we're always searching out for female contributors. And then the team itself, sometimes it's easy to squeeze out the expertise we actually have in the studio. So Vitaly, Victoria, who will have been broadcasting on the news at One, who would have been on the news channel, who almost is doing an on-air research program in the morning. And then Gabriel has a huge amount of experience. He has been based in Ukraine, based in Russia. He has many contacts in the area. He's constantly on WhatsApp talking to people in Russia and Ukraine, his friends. He's got very, very powerful stories about what's happened to his friends.
And he's covered many wars.
Yeah.
So he knows about the propaganda side of things, the disinformation side of things. And, you know, he's taught all of us, I think, and people listening to Ukrainecast, we question everything. Doesn't matter who it comes from. We question it.
Yeah, and there's so many crucial elements to the team as well, because you've mentioned there's a team of correspondents on the ground in Ukraine. I guess they're the ones who can go out and find you case studies from the area to maybe speak to, or you're using social media to find those people as well.
I think just using their scripts, if I'm honest as well, their testimony, their words. You know, I said earlier about how they agonise, I'm sure, and out in the field they agonise over the words that they're using, because there's so much weight at this time given to a BBC editor who is in the field. Their reports matter so much. So we draw upon that really, really carefully. And we use their audio. I mean, this is the strength of this podcast, is the importance of on-the-ground audio, weaving that audio in a way in which we really analyse and how we're going to bring the audio in, how long will the audio last. And you're able to do that in a podcast in a very, very skillful way. We're very fortunate to have a very strong studio editor who is very skilled at bringing the audio in at the right moment.
She's called Emma Crow.
Yes, Emma Crow.
Nice to give her a shout out. And you've all got so much experience in the BBC, outside the BBC, as journalists, as broadcasters. Is there anything that you've learnt from doing Ukrainecast that you didn't think that you didn't know before?
I think, as I mentioned earlier, Gabriel is an example when it comes to questioning absolutely everything. You know, sometimes your heart really wants something to be true. Mm-hmm. And Gabriel is saying, we need to just question this as much as we would the other side. For example, I don't think I've learnt about the resilience of people. I think it's confirmed in me that people in the worst times can find a strength, a resilience that perhaps they didn't know they had. Vitaly, would that be fair when we're talking? I mean, we can't generalise about the Ukrainian population, but that is the feeling that I have so strongly about Ukrainian people.
Absolutely. What I've learned is how strong and determined people are, not just Ukrainians, but anyone who is involved in the conflict, in the war, who's following it. And one thing that stands out for me is how strong are some of our contributors, talking about horrific things that have happened to them, to their nearest and dearest, that woman who lost her husband and neighbours. And yet they are prepared to talk to us about it in a very unemotional way, as if relating something that's not happened to them, as if telling us that this is something that isn't about me, but it's about human nature, and this is what the world should know. And it's as if they are doing the world a service, if you like. Mm. And frankly, I had not expected that. I had not expected people to be so strong in relating unspeakable things on a podcast.
I think your point about generalizations is interesting as well, Vic, because Gabriel has taught us the importance of not making generalizations about Russians, about the Russian people, making that distinction between the Kremlin and Russian people. And that's been an important lesson and an important reminder for me. And then the second thing, the thing I've learned from Vic, which I worked with Vic almost 20 years ago, and it was exactly the same then, it's the ability to ask a super direct question. And sometimes it's only four words long, but we get in a kind of, presenters get in sometimes in a trap of asking very lengthy questions, sometimes because they're trying to demonstrate their knowledge, when actually a super direct, very short question can be incredibly powerful. And I think that's what Vic has certainly brought to the table on numerous occasions in this pod, and it's created some very powerful moments.
If you enjoyed that, then you might want to think about signing up as a Radio Academy member for £3 a month. You'll be able to watch a longer video of that conversation and hear the team go into even more detail from our online event. We've also got another one coming up with Jeremy Vine and his team at Radio 2 on Thursday, the 21st of April.
Good afternoon, it's the Jeremy Vine Show. Lovely to have you with us today. Emily Bridges, we discussed she won't compete at an important female cycling event because she is still registered technically as male. But should she be able to take part? HGV drivers are increasingly being targeted by fuel thieves who can empty a tank in minutes with a hose half a mile long. Has it happened to you?
As always, you can send us your ideas for episodes to podcast@radioacademy.org. Thanks for listening.